This meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee will now come to order. It is 8:02 a.m. Thursday, April 12th in Capitol Room 124. Members present are Representative Tallarico, Representative Rauscher, Representative Parrish co-chair, and myself, Representative Zilkuski co-chair. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones. Thank you in advance. Before we begin today's hearing, I would like to thank Lori Rowland, the House Community and Regional Affairs Secretary from Records, and Max Stanley from the Juneau LIO for staffing the committee today. Today we will be hearing House Bill 410 by Representative Neil Foster's office and House Bill 333 by Representative Chris Birch. We will begin with House Bill 410, Reinstatement of Native Corporations. Would Paul LeBoul, Staff Representative Foster, please come forward, put yourself on the record, and give us a recap of the legislation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Paul LeBoul, Staff Representative Foster. House Bill 410 is a fairly simple and routine bill. I think this is my third time carrying this legislation. What it does is allow a involuntarily dissolved Native corporation to reincorporate as the same entity with the same assets, rights, and liabilities as the original corporation formed under ANCSA. They'll have until 2020 to reincorporate, and that is the sum of the bill, and I'm available for questions.
Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. LeBoul, do you have any idea of, I guess in the 29th legislature, we had talked about a number, I think we talked about maybe there were like five smaller corporations that were interested, or I don't think the dissolved number is huge, is it? It's not a lot. I'm sorry, I'll let you answer.
Representative Tallarico through the chair. I believe we have someone online from DCCED that might be able to give us the total number. Personally, I'm only aware of the one corporation that's for Bill Moore Slew, but I do remember you mentioned you had one in your area that would be applicable as well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. If there's someone that can answer.
There is not someone from DCCED on right now, but, there is somebody in the room. If you could step forward and put yourself on the record and answer the question, that'd be great.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Janie McCullough, Division Director of Corporations, Business and Professional License. In answer to your question, our database is a little bit limited, but our search on keywords brought up approximately 19 corporations since 2011.
No, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Okay. Seeing none, thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. LeBoul.
Thank you.
As a matter of procedure, we will open the bill for public testimony. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify? And there is no one online who wishes to testify, so I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. I would entertain a motion to move the bill from committee.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rauscher.
Thank you. I do appreciate the bill.
Mm-hmm.
I support the bill. I just was thinking that there are other entities that probably could make use of that same thing, but I am glad that we're doing this much here so far. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for that. Apologies. Is there any other points of discussion on the legislation this morning or questions? Okay. Co-Chair Parrish?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 410, Work Order 30-LS1556/D from committee with individual recommendations.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, committee substitute for House Bill 410 passes from committee. We will now go at ease to sign the committee report. All All right, we are back on record. I would like to recognize that Representative Lincoln joined us at 8:05 a.m. We will now hear House Bill 333, Municipal Ban Driver Phone Use in School Zones. If Representative Birch and, is it Ashton Compton? Staff Representative Birch, please put yourself on record and give us a recap of the legislation.
Morning, Madam Chair and members of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Representative Chris Birch.
For the record, Ashton Compton, staff to Representative Chris Birch.
Well, it's good to be here this morning and appreciate the opportunity to speak to House Bill 333 and for having it calendared here today. House Bill 333 has been is an important piece of legislation that frankly has been a longtime personal interest of mine from my days in local government. And it basically is it doesn't make anything illegal. It simply allows local control over traffic ordinances that relate to school zones and safety issues relating to school zone. The idea for this legislation came from a constituent who's actually online this morning, who volunteers and has volunteered as a crossing guard in Bowman Elementary School in our South Anchorage district. In the regular course of his duties, he routinely would witness dangerous situations, as many of us have over the years when we're involved with children around schools. And he's actually had some significant engagement in this issue and has been very helpful over the ensuing, I guess it's been 7 or 8 years. We began this path in local government and determined it needed to be addressed at a statewide level. Consequently, we have crafted the bill that you see before you and have hopefully addressed all the issues and concerns. I've had an opportunity to meet with a number of you during the course of this development and would appreciate your support and engagement on this important issue. Thank you, ma'am.
Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Rauscher?
I was just wondering if we could extend this to all the kids walking in a school zone. they seem to just oblivious to traffic when they're talking or doing whatever they do on the phone. But it's a good bill. Thank you.
Through the chair, I'd be happy to address that. In our research in this area, the opportunity that exists for this is actually it can be evaluated and assessed by the individual municipalities or local governments that have authority over those school areas. There's a distinction between operating and driving a motor vehicle. Operating a motor vehicle is clearly the more expansive term. Driving is a little more so, but in the school zone, again, the local government will have the ability to address that. Ashton, anything else to add?
Co-Chair Parrish?
I'd just like to say it seems like a perfectly reasonable piece of legislation. Happy to hear it and to advance it.
Thank you very much. Through the chair.
Representative Birch, I just had a quick follow-up. Thank you so much for coming in and having a discussion with me prior to today to talk about this important legislation. I was wondering, we had spoken briefly about the capability of smaller hub communities that have municipal governments and whether they are eligible to opt in if they so chose. And I was just curious if there was any guidance that you'd received on that particular question.
Thank you very much for that, and thank you for bringing that matter up. Obviously, the legislature actually is seated as an assembly for the unorganized boroughs, and to that extent, that this legislation applies would apply statewide and within municipalities that have those authorizations. So, in the community of Bethel, for instance, it would be that is considered a municipality. So, this legislation would permit that community to opt in. It's an opt in piece. In other words, the local government would have to decide that that's what they that's their will. So, yes, thank you for bringing that issue up. That was very helpful.
Thank you for clarifying. Are there any other questions from the committee? Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I had kind of come up with the same question because out in the unorganized borough, we don't necessarily have a municipal government to do that. Although I will say this bill, you know, I'm kind of in a little more, I'm not in a remote area. We don't consider at least my hometown of Healy to be remote at all. But Representative Birch, I really appreciate this. And I'm not used to the large schools. And so being here in Juneau, watching the kids and watching the buses pull up down here at Juneau Douglas and having gone to state basketball tournaments and things in the large cities in those schools, the simple guy like me can get lost in the traffic circles down there in some of the schools in Anchorage, you know, and yeah. It's the traffic is incredible. So I just want to say that I do appreciate this, and nothing's better than local control. So giving them the ability to make that decision, I think, is very appropriate. They're, you know, it's home. It's home to them. They're right there seeing the problem. So I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. I think it's a great bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Through the chair, if I might, I would add that we had great support. We had the school boards, the statewide school boards and associations were here recently. We have a very strong letter of endorsement and support from the Anchorage School District, from the school board, unanimously supporting this as a local option there. We also heard from the AAA you know, motor vehicle folks, you know, from a safety standpoint, they illustrated the national concern that they have in safety zones for children in school zones and the distracted driving problems that exist there. And frankly, even Alaska Municipal League, in my communications with some of their folks, they were, they like the option, you know, the opt-in option, local control there. So thank you.
Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, to the representative or his staff, So when I'm reading this, and I just want to understand it, I'm not opposing this bill at all. The use of electronic devices while driving. So how does that work with a public safety officer in a public safety vehicle? Is that going to be somewhat of a problem at all? Has that been looked into? Because I think they have radar equipment. I mean, they have like a plethora of electronic equipment that they're using that's working all the time while they're driving. So I'm just wondering, does this go anywhere near that, or how does this affect that?
Through the chair, I don't think it will have any impact on the ability of law enforcement to discharge their duties and responsibilities. And generally speaking, a lot of the APD cars and the state trooper vehicles are pretty well outfitted with electronics. And I have no doubt in my mind that they're not impacted by this in any way.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to put on the record some of the distinction between operating and driving, and because you've been researching this more extensively than me, I'd like to give you the first crack at it.
You want to take that? The operating and driving, we contacted the legal office or the our legislative legal office, and the driving is basically a more restrictive a term. Operating means you can be termed. I think the case is I think there's somebody that was inside a vehicle in the passenger seat and unconscious because they'd overconsumed, and I think the courts have determined that still constitutes operating. If you're in the vehicle, and driving is obviously a much more constrained definition. You have to actually be behind the wheel and the vehicle's on and moving. So there is a distinction there. So and this opt-in option gives the local community to make that decision. So if they want to expand it, you know, if they want to have a very expansive definition that includes operating, which is, you know, just being inside the vehicle, or more constrained to just driving.
Hello. Thank you. So if, and this, you know, might be a distinction that that a municipality might not have a legal team to get into, so I feel that it's worthwhile clarifying for the record. It sounds like if, say, a teacher got off work, got into their car and looked at their cell phone if a municipality had the more broad restriction. At that point, they could be in violation of the municipal ordinance, even if their vehicle wasn't running. Perhaps if they turned it on to get the heat running, and while their car was warming up, they were on their cell phone. Although I think a reasonable law enforcement officer would give them the benefit of the doubt. I would tend to encourage municipalities to use the more restrictive driving definition. Is that scenario, do you find that any holes in that scenario, or is there anything that you'd want to qualify?
Yes, through the chair. I'm a big believer in reasonable people.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will now turn to invited testimony on House Bill 333. We do have one individual, David White, who should be online. Mr. White, are you there?
Good morning, Madam Chair. This is David White. Thank you, Madam Chair and the committee, for giving me a chance to speak to this legislative issue. As Representative Birch said, it's been a long-term effort to improve the safety of our school zones. I have worked with principals, the school board, the administration, and other organizations to see how we might best approach this. Part of my experience has been spending 5 years at the intersection of Chinook and Gregory, which is the entrance to Bowman Elementary. And it, like a lot of our schools, as you've already heard, have very complex and crowded approaches, traffic patterns, and you really have to pay very close attention for your own safety as well as the safety of the children. In part of the discussion I heard, I am personally very strongly in favor of the while driving description. I think parents, including myself, need the opportunity to be able to reach out and find their children. Operating might throw a wrinkle into that, whereas driving should not. All you have to do is park your car in the school zone or on the side of the road and talk to them. Whereas driving, you need your full attention in the school zone to be safe. My own experience over 5 years is that we work very hard through the principals to get voluntary compliance. I think it was significant. We got 90%+ compliant. But the remaining group just didn't see a need to do it, and they are the ones that had some of the dangerous activities, both by lack of attention and some by just being independent and feeling that they can do what they want to in spite of the risk presented to people in the school zone. My own experience had people driving over the curb where kids were standing because they're talking on their phone and they didn't look carefully when they turned. They run stop signs. They almost run over me a number of times out in the intersection because they aren't paying attention. I see them approaching the stop sign and the crossing guard signals looking down in their lap because they're looking at their cell phone rather than the road. And the worst case scenario for me was I got hit from behind in the school zone by a driver on their cell phone. I stopped quickly to avoid a child running across in front of me, and they hit me from behind. Further discussion with that individual, even recognizing that a kid ran across the street, they said it was an important phone call. I personally believe there's nothing more important than taking that quick break. You know, we're in the school zone 5 or 10 minutes at the most. The safety of our kids is paramount, and I've seen way too much risky behavior over the time that I've been there. And I've also worked with the schools and through legislative funding to improve traffic patterns and so forth. We've done as much as we can without removing this hazard of distraction while you're driving through a school zone or on school property. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you, and look forward to moving this legislation forward if we can.
Thank you, Mr. White, for your testimony. Are there any questions from the committee for Mr. White? Representative Parrish?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And thank you, Mr. White, for your work and for your advocacy on this issue. I feel compelled to mention I was working as a crossing guard 2 years ago as part of my other duties with the school. And, yeah, it can be gosh darn scary when you got little kids who are, you know, not necessarily clued in, and then adults who could be driving their vehicle and not paying much attention either. I'd also like to thank you for your for weighing in on the driving or operating question. To restate, it sounds like you'd be in favor of the driving a motor vehicle terminology, because people for legitimate reasons will pull off to the side of the road, say, or park, and then contact their child or make other pertinent calls. Is that all about right?
Absolutely, Representative. My experience is the risk is while you're moving and you're distracted because you have that device and the activity that's going on in your head. And while you're parked, you're not creating any risk. And I, like every parent, you know, from time to time, we can't find our kids. We need to tell them that we're there. We're in a school zone, and it's easy enough to do when you're parked. So I personally would oppose the operating wording, because that's not the risky habit. It has to do with the driving part.
Thank you, Mr. White.
Representative Rauscher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for the representative, because of this gentleman that called in, and as the representative from Juneau was stating, that the gentleman on the phone said, mentioned about pulling over to talk if you have to. So is talking at all in a phone, in your car, whether it's parked in a parking lot now or near the road or on the side of the road, is that illegal now, according to this? Could that be considered illegal by the municipality in light of this legislation?
Through the chair, talking on a cell phone is not illegal in Alaska. It is legal in Alaska. Talking on a cell phone while driving is legal in Alaska. You can't do anything that engages a screen. You can't watch a play a video game, watch a movie. You're not supposed to be doing it. I think your navigation and actually being on the phone is legal. This would relate to just school zones, and it would give the municipalities an option to engage that and make that, they could make that against the law in a school zone or on school property.
Correct. And follow up. Mm-hmm. So if you're parked in a parking lot of a school and you're talking on the phone, could that be considered illegal?
Through the chair, per the testimony here a minute ago, driving was suggested. So when the vehicle's in motion, I think that was suggested as an issue that the municipalities would choose to consider. So it would be reasonable that you would pull off to the side, stop, and then discharge whatever you had.
And that's legal.
Pardon me?
That is legal to pull over, yeah, according to this.
Depending on the municipal determination.
Okay.
Representative Parrish.
Thank you. If there are no further questions from Mr. White, I'd like to offer a conceptual amendment, hopefully to be seen as a friendly amendment by the bill's sponsor, to on page 1, line 7, following the word person, delete the word operating and add the word driving, so that the sentence would read, notwithstanding other provisions of this title, a municipality may adopt an ordinance prohibiting the use of a cellular telephone by a person driving a motor vehicle while on school property, etc. just getting to the point raised by Mr. White and more recently by Representative Rauscher.
Is that a motion?
Yes, I move conceptual amendment number one.
I will object for the purpose of discussion. Representative Birch, as the sponsor of the legislation, do you have, and as the individual in whose office has done a lot of research on this, do you have a position on whether or not it's operating or driving?
Can you see any position from our research? I think from our research, it's just a matter of, Madam Chair, it's just a matter of giving the maximum flexibility to the communities. But based on the testimony and the discussion, yeah, I mean, if somebody pulls off to the side of the road and is having a conversation in an operating mode, I think that would be reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments or discussion? Okay, I will remove my objection. Are there any other objections on the conceptual amendment to change operating to driving?
Object for just a question. Where is he putting that? What line?
It would be under line on page 1, line 7, after the word person, changing operating to driving.
Follow up, Madam Chair. It does say in the title, driving. And then down here it says operating, and the reason for that was?
Through the chair, the legal assessment is to have basically the full flexibility for the municipalities that are actually going to ultimately do that. And so if you have a kind of a broad description, and then the local communities can decide how constrained they want to make that. That's basically just gives the maximum flexibility to the local government to make that decision.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Does your objection stand, Representative Rauscher?
I remove mine.
Okay. So there's an amendment before us. Any other objections? Seeing no other objections.
Brief at ease.
Representative Rauscher?
Yeah, I think I'll object for a purpose of a little more discussion here. I guess I understand what Representative Parrish is wanting to do here. And I agree with what he's trying to do, but I'm trying to understand whether or not we're confining too much for the municipalities in that respect, thinking that they can use their own mental understanding there. Or not, I don't know, but I agree with the motion here for the amendment. And I would just like to get everybody's kind of thoughts on that. I don't know where they stood. It seems like he's trying to cover all situations for them and allow them the latitude, and I can understand that, giving them the latitude, and then I can understand the amendment. Trying to confine it so they don't have that latitude, because it doesn't make sense to us in this room, or maybe just to him and me. So I guess I'm just wanting to have that discussion a little further.
Yeah. Yes, actually, and really quickly, Representative Birch, that does bring to mind a question about how municipalities would further define that if we were to provide an opportunity for them to have greater latitude as the bill before us would allow. How would municipalities, upon opting in, be able to further define that for clarity?
Madam Chair, it's my understanding in our discussions and research on this proposal is that the municipalities do have the latitude to have as broad a description as they choose to have, or as narrow a description as they choose to have. Operating, deleting operating. I don't see a problem with it, but again, it just constrains the what the local governments can do with respect to the legislation. I think if you pull up next to a school and you stop your vehicle and you're I don't know how young children, I think kids in high school, and I think everybody has a cell phone anymore, but so if mom or dad's trying to pick up a child at school and they're off to the side of the road, they're stopped, the vehicle's not moving, and they're engaged, and then maybe that's. But the intent was just to give the most latitude to the local government as to how they choose to interpret it. But as far as the proposal, it seems reasonable enough to me. The vehicle's moving, don't be on the phone.
Representative Parrish.
Thank you. For this, we've spent a little bit of time discussing the difference between driving and operating. And if you'd asked me before I had an introduction to your bill, I'd probably stumble over what was the difference. I had a friend who drank too much, She had her keys in her possession. She was on the passenger side, sleeping it off. But that was, even though her vehicle wasn't running, that was enough to be considered operating the motor vehicle for the purposes of the law. Now, that doesn't seem completely reasonable to me, but that is the way that the law was interpreted in that case. And that's, I really don't like ambiguity. And operating a motor vehicle, to me, seems the more broadly ambiguous term. Now, if your vehicle's in park, if you're off the road, and then you need to be on your cell phone for whatever reason, that seems reasonable to me. And I recognize that the people who may be making this decision are elected officials in their own right, but I just as soon spare them the unnecessary ambiguity of operating versus driving. I think driving, as Mr. White pointed out, gets to the substance of the safety issue.
If I have an objection, I'm removing it. I don't remember.
So there is an objection with the amendment. I would like to speak before the objection is removed, that just for the purposes of discussion, because Representative Birch, your office has done a great deal of research on this, and understanding that this committee, there's a second referral on this particular bill to go to judiciary that may be able to pick up some of these legal fine-tuning definitions in that committee. I just want to speak to the merits of the bill, that I absolutely respect that the intention was to provide as much latitude to the municipalities to make the determination for themselves, and for that reason I would be voting against an amendment, or the conceptual amendment that's before us. And so I think because there's an opportunity for this to move on to judiciary, and because of understanding that municipalities should be able to define that, I absolutely support keeping in broader language as defined currently in the existing legislation. And so with that, if there are no other comments, and Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think I agree with your point. In particularly in the school zone, I think this was probably determined to go beyond what we would typically refer to as a moving traffic violation. And I think the idea was to keep people alert. Like I say, I'm not as familiar with the big schools other than I used to be a basketball coach. And there's one particularly, just a quick example, there's one in Anchorage where there's a pass-through lane and a parking lane to get to the gymnasium. And you can pull up in vans and drop kids off, and they go to the gym when the tournament's there. And then all of these cars are parked alongside. And the last time I was there, probably close to several of the occupants were on their cell phones. Although it was, I suppose it could be determined a moving violation, but people kind of lose their focus at that point in time, and they're not watching the pass-through traffic that's in the lane. And whatever discussion you're having or anything, you just creep through there because people are constantly. Usually the people on their cell phones are just pulling out right in front of the the moving traffic. You know, it's a distraction for sure. So I think I understand your point. I agree with you. So I think making sure they have that latitude to make those decisions is important.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rauscher.
Thank you for the extra minute here. I appreciate what you had to say. I appreciate what Representative Tallarico had to say, and I appreciate what Representative Parrish is trying to do there. So I'm going to probably vote against that, also on the merits that there may be a reason that somebody's sitting still, not driving, and they really need to get off the phone and start driving. According to the situation that Representative Tallarico brought up, so I'm probably going to give the latitude to the municipalities in this one and let judicial, like you suggested, argue this one out. Thank you.
I believe that the only additional people who I capture with this amendment, or rather the only people who are not captured by this amendment, are people who are actually parked. Because even if you've got your foot on the brake, you are still driving your vehicle. So the question is, do we want to give municipalities the option of forbidding people who are parked or are in the passenger side of running vehicles from using or being on their electronic devices? And there are some places I don't think that government should go, and one of those is probably in a parked car where it pertains to cell phone use.
Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just thinking through, you know, there's a good reason why the state tries to maintain a uniform set of rules around driving, because if you had all kinds of different traffic laws in every different municipality, then it could get really confusing. You could inadvertently be breaking the law. I like the amendment, and I'd like it less if it was a controversial one, but the bill's sponsor said he feels good about the change, and the testimony I think was pretty convincing too, and I have a lot of respect for Mr. White for what he does with the kids, and really value his input in this, but it does seem like the actual risk is around driving while on the phone, and for the sake of simplicity and kind of having, you know, assuring a broad application to this without a whole lot of nuance depending on what town you happen to be in, I support the amendment, and those are my thoughts.
Does your objection stand, Representative Rauscher?
I appreciate what the what Representative Lincoln has to say, and I kind of agree with him. Thank you.
Representative Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. From the standpoint of we do have another committee referral, and I'd be happy to do some additional research between now and then to validate some of the concerns that were voiced here. I think we had it in public testimony. And while it is in my inclination is to give the maximum flexibility to local government, I understand the concerns that were voiced here, and I'm good with whatever the body wants to do, and we will do the additional research as we move forward on the distinction between operating and driving.
Brief it is.
All right, we are back on record. We still have not gotten to public testimony on this particular bill. I don't see anybody online, but we will come back to that. Representative Rauscher, does your objection stand?
At this moment, I'll remove my objection.
Okay, and I will remove an objection that previously stood. So there are no objections on the conceptual amendment at this moment for changing operating to driving. Just to ensure that we've provided public testimony, I will open public testimony on this bill. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify? Seeing none, I don't believe we have anyone online. Seeing no more individuals wishing to testify, I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. There is an amendment. Are there any objections to the conceptual amendment? Seeing none, the amendment passes. Are there any other points of discussion or questions about the bill? Okay, seeing none, I would entertain a motion to move the bill from committee.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 333, version 30-LS1297/A from committee with individual recommendations and attached to zero fiscal notes. As amended.
Are there any objections? Okay, seeing none, committee substitute for House Bill 333 as amended passes from committee. We will go at ease while members sign the committee report. All right, we are back on record. These were bills on our agenda today. The time is now 8:49 a.m., and this hearing of Community and Regional Affairs is now adjourned.